in Luke chapter 12 in verse 20, the scripture calls him thou fool. Now, in the New Testament, there are two words for fool. And we're going to probably preach another sermon where we'll look at this other word. But one word in the New Testament for fool is moros. And that's where we get the word moron from. A second word that's used for fool in the New Testament is this word that we're looking at today, which is aphron, which means a stupid person with an ego problem. A stupid person with an ego problem. And so as we consider the fool today, let us put it in that perspective.
Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of I Pity the Fool from our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of I Pity the Fool. From our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools.
This morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And I'll be reading from the easy to read version. One of the men in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teach us, teacher, our father just died and left some things for us. Tell my brother to share them with me." But Jesus said to him, "Who said I should be your judge or decide how to divide your father's things between you two?" Then Jesus said to them, "Be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. People do not get life from the many things they own." Jesus used this story. There was a rich man who had some land. His land grew a very good crop of food. He thought to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to keep all my crops." Then he said, "I know what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. I will put all my wheat and good things together in my new barns. Then I can say to myself, I have many good things stored. I have saved enough for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and enjoy life." But God said to that man, and then I went back to the King James for this right here, "Thou fool, tonight you will die. So what about those things you prepared for yourself? Who will get those things now? This is how it will be for anyone who saves things only for himself. To God, that person is not rich." And the title of our message today is I Pity the Fool. I Pity the Fool. We are in a series entitled Lessons to be Learned from the Songs of Fools. This is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 5, where it talks about that there are many lessons that can be learned from the wise, but very little can be learned from the songs of fools. We see that the songs of fools, that there are some things that we want to take away as we look at these songs of fools. We want to learn a lesson from their words. We want to learn a lesson from their deeds, and we want to learn a lesson from their consequences. And so in this series, we started out by looking at a chain of fools. Last week, we looked at what the fool believes, and today, we want to look at I Pity the Fool. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, the scripture calls him thou fool. Now, in the New Testament, there are two words for fool. And we're going to probably preach preach another sermon where we'll look at this other word, but one word in the New Testament for fool is moros, and that's where we get the word moron from. A second word that's used for fool in the New Testament is this word that we're looking at today, which is aphron, which means a stupid person with an ego problem. A stupid person with an ego problem. And so as we consider the fool today, let us put it in that perspective. As we look at the background, we see in Luke chapter 13, 12 and verse 13, that one of the men came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, our father just died and left some things for us. Tell my brother to share them with me." Now notice that this man addressed Jesus as teacher. The word there is rabbi. And we know a lot of in the Jewish community today that there are a lot of rabbis. And back in Jesus' day, if somebody was called a rabbi, that meant that he was a teacher. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, "Rabbi." Now, he requests that Jesus tell his brother to share the inheritance that his father just left. Now, there were two laws that were in operation here. There was the Roman law that required that if there was an agreement between the two brothers, that they could share it. And so he could have appealed to Roman law, but he doesn't appeal to Roman law. He appeals to Jewish law, which is the rabbi. And so the rabbi could make a decision if he felt that the inheritance should be separated. So that's why he comes to Jesus, because Jesus was a rabbi. And he thought, well, Jesus knows the law. And so if I tell Jesus my problem, that Jesus can go to my brother and tell him to share the inheritance with me. However, as we look at the next slide, but Jesus said to him, "Who should I be your judge or decide how to divide your father's things between the two of you?" See, this man wanted Jesus to force his brother to share the inheritance. And Jesus' response might seem a little bit gruff and a little bit rough, but what Jesus was doing is that Jesus says to him is that be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. People do not get life from the many things that they own. And so Jesus sees through this man's request to share the inheritance, or to command his brother to share the inheritance. Jesus sees through that. And Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter and realizes that this man had a greed problem. And so that's why Jesus says, be careful. And at that point, he was not just talking to this man. He was talking to everybody in the crowd that day. He was just not talking to that man, but he's talking to all of us here today. And what he's saying is be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. For your life does not consist of the many things that you own. When the rich man died, somebody said, "How much did he leave?" He left it all. He left it all. That you can't take it with you. And I've said on many occasions here from this pulpit that you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul on the way to the cemetery. You're going to leave it all behind. And that's what Jesus is saying here, that you do not get life from the many things that you own. Jesus saw past the request, and he saw to this man's heart. It seems that greed was at the center of this man's request. But notice what Jesus also says. He says, be careful that you guard against all kinds and all types of greed. Well, all kinds, all types of greed. Well, we know money is one, that people are greedy for money. But Jesus said, just don't stop there. He said, all kinds of greed. Material possessions. Maybe you are greedy for material possessions. As we come into this election season, we see there are a lot of politicians that are greedy for political power. Some people are greedy for power in general. Some people are greedy for pleasure. So let's just not get one-dimensional in our focus, but let us open the horizons to see that there are many types of greed. And maybe we are sitting here today and we find ourselves sitting in a position of greed. And again, it may not just be monetary, but it may be some other type of greed. What is the definition of greed? What is the definition of greed? Greed is a selfish and excessive desire for more of something than is actually needed, allowing oneself to be controlled by that desire. So it's a desire to want more, or as I heard somebody say, to get all you can and sit on the can, right? You want more, and you sit on the can, and the only time you take the lid off the can is to get more. But not only to get more, but then allowing yourself to be controlled by that desire. Somebody said that greed is defined. Greed is not defined by what something costs. It is measured by what it will cost you. What it will cost you. Proverbs 28 and verse 22 in the New Living Translation says, greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. Greed costs you. First of all, greed costs you peace of mind. That you're always trying to get. You're always trying to scheme. You're always trying to figure out how you can get more. And so you're never at peace. And so greed costs you a peace of mind. Greed costs you family and friends, because many people don't want to be around a greedy person. If all the time they're scheming and conniving and talking about how to get and how to get over, that you lose friends. So Proverbs says that greedy people are actually headed towards poverty. There's a greed issue in our day. Just think about this. How many CEOs of major corporations have been brought down because of greed? How many responsible or irresponsible, should I say, crooked cops, crooked politicians. Now somebody's going to say, well, yeah, why are you getting on them? I'm going to throw another group in there too. Crooked preachers, right, have fallen because of greed. You see people in these key areas, even in the pulpit, that are greedy. You know, that's why, you know, I praise God that People know, I don't have a thing to do with money at Bethany Baptist Church. Not one thing, right? I don't sign any checks. I don't sit on any committees that talk about who's giving this and who's giving that. I don't know who gives what. Now, you know, maybe somebody might say that that's bad for a pastor not to know in his congregation who's giving. I figure like this, God knows who's giving. And as I always say, if God got your heart, he got your pocketbook. But how many preachers have fallen because they've gotten greedy? And so greed is a problem in our day. Greed is responsible for the cutthroat, dog-eat-dog attitude that we see in the corporate world today. Greed is responsible. Just look at wars that are going on. And what's at the center of a lot of wars that are going on? It's greed. And so greed is something that's devastating. They took a survey and they asked, what would you do for $10 million? 3% of the people that were parents said they would put their children up for adoption. Now, some parents might do that for... No, I'm just kidding. Out of this group, 16% said that they would leave their spouse. 25% said that they would abandon their families forever for $10 million. And then, this is amazing right here, 23% said that they would become prostitutes for 1 week for $10 million. Greed is a problem in our society today. What are some of the causes of greed? Well, we see the rich young fool said, I will tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns. You know, his greed was to have more and to get more. And so there are three causes for greed. There's dread, the fear that I might lose everything, so I better get all that I can. You know, you often think about this. I mean, you know, the older that I get and the closer that I get to retirement, and I see how, you know, our retirement funds are going down, you know, you begin to think, okay, how can I make sure that when I come to that day that I retire, that I'm going to be taken care of, right? And so you can allow that dread or that fear to creep in, and then you can turn to the attitude and you could have the philosophy, well, you know what? I better get all I can right now, no matter who I step on, no matter who I walk over. Let me get all that I can right now. So dread, desire, a craving to have more than is actually needed, right? A craving to have more than is actually needed. You see people that have abundance. You can only live in one house at a time. You can only drive one car at a time. You can only wear one suit at a time. You can only wear one dress at a time. So again, nothing wrong with having possessions as long as the possessions don't have you. And some people allow their possessions to have them, and they have this desire to get more and more and more. And then we see delight. Some people want to experience the delights of pleasure and the things that give more pleasure. And so we see that there are several causes for greed. But I want to share with you this morning three things. And the first thing that I want to share with you is this. I pity the fool who consults with self and not with God. I pity the fool who consults with self and not with God. Notice what it said here in verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself. He thought, that was his first mistake. Now, in the community in which the background to this parable is giving, it was a community in which you consulted with other people. That's why they had a place where at the gate you could take care of business. And we read that expression in the Old Testament quite a bit, where they took care of business at the gate. And so oftentimes when people had to make decisions, they would go to the gate with the city elders and they would consult as to what decision they would make. But notice that this man consulted with a committee of one, himself. And I tell you what, oftentimes when you consult with that committee of one, it leads to poor decisions. It leads to bad decisions. That's why the book of Proverbs says that there's safety in a multitude of counselors. That as you come together, that people, you know, I used to coach football at Liberty University. And on game day, one of my jobs was to be, now I had players that I coached during the week, but during game day, I would sit up in the booth. And, you know, I would look at tendencies of the offense. I would look at how our players were doing. And we had other coaches that were looking at specific things. And we came up with this expression. You can't have too many eyes on what's going on out there. That the more eyes that you have, the more you can see what's happening. And so it's true as Christians that as we have to make decisions, that yes, we consult with God. There's no question about it that you come before the Lord and that you bring your petitions before him. and that you seek him for his wisdom, and that you seek him for his direction. No question about that. But I believe also there are wise counselors that God puts in our lives. Maybe they might be trusted Christian friends. And instead of going down to the place where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came, you might not want to go there. You may want to go to the house of the Lord where there's some godly people with godly wisdom that can open up the word of God and share with you and help you in some of the decisions that you have to make. Now notice it says that that he thought within himself, right? He thought within himself. This Greek word right here actually means to reckon thoroughly, deliberately, by reflection or discussion. So, in other words, the man sat down and thought to himself, man, I've had a bumper crop. Yes, you sure have. What are you going to do with the crop? Well, you know, there's a whole lot of things that I could do with it. I could do this, I could do that, I could do this. Oh, but what are you going to do? Well, you know what? I think that I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater barns. He consulted with a committee of one. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, I pity the fool that just consults with himself. Notice that God must have been somewhere in his life, because in a little bit we're going to see God going to show up and talk to him. So he didn't even turn to God. He consulted with himself. I pity the fool who consults with himself and not God. Second, I pity the fool who comes to a greedy conclusion and not a godly conclusion. Look at verses 18 and 19. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater barns. And there I will bestow all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The greedy conclusion of self-consultation. First of all, we see he came to the conclusion that I'm going to build bigger barns, right? Now, what would the godly conclusion be? Right? I got all this. I'm going to be a blessing to others. Go to that next slide. I love this. I love this. One of the early church fathers, Ambrose of Milan, said the rich man had access to plenty of storage space in the mouths of the poor and needy. In the mouths of the poor and needy. Again, this is the problem with self-confrontation, consultation, is because you come to poor conclusions that Jesus said over and over and again that we need to be a blessing to the poor and the needy. Friday afternoons, we have the Master's Kitchen where people come and they get a meal. And I'm going to tell you what, I say this without reservation, that this meal is tastier than any meal that you can get at a restaurant. Them people back there in that kitchen, they cook with love. I remember there was people that used to come on Friday afternoons, and I don't know how poor and needy they were. They just came because the food was good.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of I Pity the Fool. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, I Pity the Fool, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Pity the Fool. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Pity the Fool. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.